Amadon, St. Helena, California, September 12, 1910. Mr. Amadon, Battle Creek, Michigan. Dear Brother Amadon, we have heard of the calamity that overtook you during the Battle Creek camp meeting, in the wrecking of the large tent. This news does not surprise us, for the Prince of the Power of the Air will do strange things in his efforts to hinder God's people, and much more in the future than he has in the past. I have been surprised that we have seen so little of the working and manifestation of his wrath. I have seen that just such things as have happened at the Battle Creek camp meeting will take place again. As Lucifer sees that we are making efforts to work the cities as if we meant to give the last message, his wrath will be aroused, and he will employ every device in his power to hinder the work. Lucifer was cast out of heaven because he was fully determined to have a position above that of Christ. He could not obtain what he coveted, and there was war in heaven, and he was cast out. Satanic agencies have held control at Battle Creek, and as I read the account of your experience, I was not at all surprised, for I realize that many more such things will take place. As the cities are worked by the Lord's messengers, there will be many strange revelations, but we are to go straight forward, heeding them not. Take the case of Job. See how Satan was permitted to show himself and his indignation against God's servant. In the future, we shall see more of the violence described in the Bible. But we must not be surprised, as though some strange thing happened unto us. As special victories are gained in the work of arousing our people to a sense of their true position, Satan will reveal himself. We were greatly blessed during our camp meeting at Berkeley. We had an exceptionally favorable location, and this I appreciated. Sarah and I had rooms in a house just across the road from the campground. My room was opposite the large pavilion. I had only to walk across the street, go a short distance further, and I was in the tent. I was thankful that it was so little trouble for me to get to the speaker stand. Brother Chrysler and his family and Willie had a cottage in the backyard of the house we occupied. It was very favorable for me to be so near my workers. The camp meeting was carried through with success, and no accidents occurred. The attendance at the meeting was large. I solicited an opportunity to speak on the last day of the meeting, when I read and explained some writings that will be of great consequence to those who will accept them. These writings I was deeply impressed to present. By faith, we must grasp more firmly the words of unfailing truth. About a week after returning from the camp meeting, I visited the Pacific Union College, where a special meeting was then being held by the teachers of the church schools in this conference. Sarah and I left our home for the college on Friday morning, taking the longer route because the short one is rocky and at this time of the year very dusty. The long road is about 10 miles, 4 miles farther round than the short route, but it is an excellent road, ascending the mountain gradually. We suffered little annoyance from the dust, but it is a drive of 2.5 hours and a continual ascent, and on reaching the school I felt very weary. Notwithstanding my weariness, I spoke to a full house the following morning. The Lord gave me freedom of speech, and I spoke for about an hour. The following words, which were on my mind, I spoke to the people. Entering the cities. Again and again I am instructed to present to our churches in every place the work that should be done, not only where we have churches already established, but in new fields, where the truth has never been fully established. In our cities, as verily as in far-off lands, there are people of all nationalities whose souls are precious and who must hear the message. The way must be opened to reach these unworked fields. Decided work must be done. Openings must be made. Those of our ministers who, Sabbath after Sabbath, preach to the same ones, accomplish very little. If they were wide awake, their words would make a decided impression, and souls would be enlightened and led to accept the truth. It is impossible for man to measure the ingenuity shown by Satan in deceiving human minds. As Christ saw the working out of Satan's plans to deceive man in many ways, he gladly came to our world as an infant, to live in this world, to meet the wily foe in every stage of human life, and to counterwork his satanic wiles. No one could understand, as Christ did, the enemy's power of deception. He saw that the world was being captivated by the delusive power exercised through commercialism of various kinds. He came to take human nature and to stay this overwhelming power of deception, which was leading souls to their ruin. Thus was laid the plan for Christ to act his part as a savior. He came to our world to live and suffer and die, that he might win to God the souls deceived by Satan. He is wise in an understanding of the tempter's plans, and he can teach men and women how to become wise, to discern and to escape the corruption that Satan is constantly inventing. Christ declared, "I have pledged myself, as the only begotten Son of the Lord God Almighty, to carry out God's plan to win souls from Satan to the Lord's side." Christ alone can defeat the enemy. He works in man's behalf to uncover his plans, that souls may be led to turn from the arch-deceiver.